Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Canada, Monterey.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you so much, Audrey. I should say more often, maybe not so riveting the show, but anyway, we'll accept that compliment that you give each week. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. Tonight's going to be sort of special because we're going to be taking a trip to where? To London. Yes, we're going to London. That's where Lucy is right now. She's at the Olympics, but we're not going to the Olympics. We're going back a long time, about a century or so, and we're going to listen to some true life crime story about the robbery of the Bank of England. And this was a show called The Secrets of Scotland Yard, and it was true crime stories about the London Metropolitan Police. And all of these are actual cases. They were on the radio from little after the Second World War for about 5 or 6 years. They were broadcast internationally, by the way, from London. And then they were brought to the United States. They only lasted about a year over here on radio. But I think you'll enjoy these, and I'll give you the location where you can find more episodes of those. But it's true crime, and it's the London Metropolitan Police. So we think that's going to be fun. Emily and Mike, thank you for joining us tonight and all the work that you always do behind the scenes. And we'll talk a little bit about the purpose of this show. We try to look at news issues, developments, all kinds of news tonight, by the way, about criminal justice. Some of it's a little weird. Our United Nations is acting up again, ours, yours. And they have a proposal that I don't want to overemphasize that word, but we'll talk about that in the news segment tonight. Kind of a weird thing that the United Nations is proposing, as if they haven't done something like that before, right, Mike? Our show is dedicated to those energetic, tireless courts, corrections, police, juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and indeed throughout the world. What we try to do is look inside criminal justice practice and take a close-up look at its professionals, either in our news segments or in the actual show feature itself. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio. I noticed tonight when I clicked on that there were 151 live shows on at the same time. So don't say you can't find anything to listen to. I almost canceled the show to listen to the Poetry Cafe. That's hard. I think it starts at 8 o'clock. But you got time to watch that or listen to that before you listen to our show. But just remember, 151 shows within 1 hour. you can be one of those shows. You can literally sign up for a show within minutes, and you can have your own network, and you can broadcast live in streaming audio all over the world to an unlimited number of listeners. Just think of that. As I've said before, 10 years ago, if somebody would have mentioned that, they'd say, what does that cost? Guess what it costs? Absolutely nothing. Okay. Tonight, I told you what the show is going to be about. It's going to be the Secrets of Scotland Yard radio show, true crime drama. And the story segment is going to be a true story about robbery at the Bank of England. And I think you'll find that enjoyable in and of itself. You're listening on your computer. We'll have a little news segment here. If you want to do that, you could call in on the news segment, 347-996-5983. Got a lot of news to cover tonight. Now, I might have time to play a marvelous little segment that Michelle Malkin did yesterday on the Sean Hannity show, and it had to do with gun control and a little argument they were having there. Of course, you know, because of the Aurora, Colorado event, we're going to get a lot of stories for almost ever about gun control. Terrible thing. We have a blonde joke tonight, and I'm going to do this one myself tonight because Lucy's gone. And Mike, do you mind if I do the blonde joke? Because you usually do them second. Here's the blonde joke. Two blondes were sitting in a cafe. They were having coffee and a light snack. They talked with each other about business and social events and all that business, and they had met before. But finally, one of the blondes says to the other one, well, how do they refer to you? What do you call it? And the one blonde looked at her and sort of stared at her intently and said, well, what do you think? Dumb blonde. What do you think? Is that one funny? Now, that's the reason I don't have a dumb blonde joke book, because I made that one up. Okay. Let's go on. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be cynical or poke fun about this, but the Ohio Gun Coalition does have a message for us. This comes in the wake of Aurora, Colorado, but here's what they want the criminals to do.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
I'm not going to speak a lot tonight about the Aurora event because it takes more than I could talk a couple hours about that one. But many people are saying relative to that, had some people been around in that theater that had a concealed carry license that was not permitted to carry in the theater, six or seven of those people out of those super-sized crowd that they had. I forget how many people were there, but it was a large crowd, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands. Somebody probably could have stopped that guy, at least saved some lives as a result of doing that. I find it amazing that they're debating the idea whether they ought to go for the death penalty. If you don't go for the death penalty with this guy, what do you go for, right? Weird. All right, here's a tip for you, a little green tip from Esma Floyd's 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. And this one has to do with your pets, your household pets. And it's tip number 986, and it says, prevent your pet cats and your dogs from attacking or playing with wildlife. Don't allow them to run without supervision, and raise your cats as indoor pets. I didn't know about that. Raise your cats as indoor pets. Many wildlife animals are injured each year by domestic dogs and cats. I never realized that. Actually, I never paid much attention to it. Don't remember that actually from police work too much. But we're not going to doubt Esma Floyd, the expert on the subject on how to save the planet. Right, let's move over to the news segment. A lot of interesting stuff going on tonight. And let's see what we can find out here. I save all my news notes on Evernote. I don't know if you folks ever use Evernote, but it is fantastic. And, you know, there's a I save hundreds of notes, literally, and it's all free. And you can get, if you override that, I mean, I've got like a 2-inch scale up there at the top, and I've got like 1/20th of an inch filled, so you could never actually fill it, but it's a wonderful way. You can make as many notebooks as you want and save your notes, and they're available on all computers no matter where you are. So go to Evernote.com if you've never done that, and open up a good notebook. This one is interesting. I got this off of one of the tech magazines, but they were talking about a new grab bag, and they were talking about something called the Urban Crew Backpack. And this is an iSafe Bags Urban Crew Backpack. It's an alarming product, and when they say that, they literally mean it. The backpack contains 225 decibel sirens, powered by two 9-volt batteries and controlled by a hand grenade-style pin hidden in the shoulder strap. How loud is 125 decibels? The guy that tested this, Roy Furscott, he said it's loud enough that it can risk ear damage unwisely trying in a smallish room. He says he found it painfully loud. But isn't that interesting? This Urban Crew bag, it does contain those batteries. The bag costs $90. And it also has a flashing LED red light, but it wasn't nearly so noticeable as the sirens. And it's about 12 or 19 inches by 12 by 7. It's a mid-sized pack. It has four main compartments and that type of business. But, you know, a lot of people carry packs. And why not carry one with a siren? When somebody jumps in and starts to mug you, you know, you can do away with them. He says that, you know, they ought to have a kind of thing, kind of like a sensor. I guess there's something called a Zom alarm. I don't know what that is. I'll have to look it up. But he says if you set your pack down somewhere, if somebody gets too close to it, then an alarm sort of goes off, and that would scare off the thieves. So that's interesting. I'm not going to get one. I don't do packs unless I'm on the Appalachian Trail or something like that. But anyway, President Obama, by the way, is now recommending some gun control. He doesn't know exactly what, but he does say that, you know, it is time to do something about gun control. People were wanting to know why he wasn't commenting about this relative to the Aurora, Colorado theater shooting. And he's finally, he's on a four-day trip in various places, and he says, well, it's time to think about that. He says, why should somebody be able to go get an AK-47? That should only be in the hands of the military and not something that's a semi-automatic rifle, high-capacity clip. And this weirdo got ammunition from all kinds of places. He had 100-round drum Holmes, allegedly possessed illegal under the federal firearms assault ban that expired nearly a year ago, and it's illegal in Massachusetts under a state law that Governor Romney signed while he was governor there. This AR-15 used in the shooting was also banned under both laws. And they're trying to get that law back, I think, as I recall that. But you know, and then you've got other part of this thing about guns. It's a long, long story. Is some of them look bad and evil. And the ones that don't look bad and evil are just as bad and evil. But they're not usually talked about. I mean, you can buy hunting rifles and all kinds of things that do a lot of what these other things do, then people can order these things. I guess you've heard of that. And guess what? Some people can make firearms. I know people have done it over the years. So it's a terrible situation. And now we're back to talking about, does violence in movies cause violence in people and that type of thing. We studied that backwards and forwards for about 40 years, and there's some research says yes and some research no. You've seen thousands of murders on television by the time you were 18 or 20 years old, and you've never gone out and killed anyone or even thought about it. So some people it clicks or triggers something on them, excuse the pun, and other people it doesn't. But I think it's also commendable you saw heroes in that case in the theater in Colorado, in Aurora, where they went and saved the lives of people. I mean, that is just tremendous. But I think some people I would almost bet that some people, a lot of money, that some people that had a CCW, if there were five or six of them in there, given the way this thing came down, that one or more of those could have got this guy and saved some lives. Anyway, interesting. One of the guys that makes movies, he made one of the first, a Boris Karloff film, I don't remember this thing, called Targets. And this was Boris Karloff ends with a sniper, an angry Vietnam veteran vet, who picked off teenagers at a drive-in movie theater. I hate violent movies. I never went to them to start with. You know, I like movies with happy endings and that kind of thing. But anyway, he said that, you know, these movies could be causing some of this stuff. And he says he doesn't like violent films. He says he certainly doesn't like comic book movies. He thinks they're sort of a jip. He says they're not my my cup of tea. And anyway, he's a famous writer, director, I guess. And Peter Bogdanovich. I don't follow Hollywood much at all, so I'm not sure who he is or why. But anyway, he says he's not sure what the solution is. He says, I just know that violence in this country is out of control. And the fact that guns are so easy to get is chilling. But nobody wants to blame the movies. Nobody wants to blame the guns. And yet it's so easy to buy them, and there are more murders in this country than anywhere else. Well, he's wrong about that. I just checked. We are not number one in the world in murders per capita. And they're up. Murders are up in some of the major cities around the United States. Chicago is almost 40% killings. But on the other hand, we have, check it out, the lowest crime rates we've had in about a half century. And a lot of people don't have trouble finding that out. Here's one that we ought to be thinking about. I'm going to talk a lot about this one. It says the Transportation Security Administration, the Department of Homeland Security, and countless other security agencies. They were established to keep America safe from terrorist attacks in the post-9/11 America. Of course they were. How far beyond that does the Fed's reach really go? Well, guess what? Testimonies delivered in recent weeks by former employees of the National Security Agency, that's the NSA, and we've done a radio show about them. They are the most secret of all the federal agencies. Most people never even have heard of them, but they're far beyond the secrecy of the CIA. The U.S. government is granting itself surveillance powers far beyond what most Americans consider the proper role of a federal government. This was an interview on Current TV's Viewpoint this week. Former NSA technical director William Binney commented on the government's policy of blanket surveillance alongside colleagues Tom Drake and Kirk Veevey, however he pronounces that, the agency's respective former senior official and senior analyst. But guess what? They're finding out, I'm going to jump down to the bottom of this. This is a Pandora's box when you start on doing these things. But he was speaking at a conference, and Drake and Vinny's statements follow the revelation that law enforcement officers collected cell phone records of 1.3 million people in 2011. And guess what? That the NSA, they are actually compiling or started compiling a database on every person in the United States. Now, can you believe that? That's in this article. I would have no way of verifying it, but they're actually compiling a database on everyone in the United States. Now, think about that. Do most people even know that or even think that something like that could happen? He said the government is giving itself the power to gather intel on every American that could be used in future prosecutions, and they're looking at your associations and who you know, it's far beyond Facebook type of stuff. So, and remember, Mr. Google, who we're using tonight, he is one of the 1,900 private organizations that does surveillance or gathers intelligence information for the United States government. Don't you just love San Francisco? Here's a city that helps you do everything. They used to provide condoms for people in bars so they could have sex inside of bars. I don't know if they still do that. But in response to complaints about the San Francisco Public Library visitors openly viewing explicit content, including pornography, the network has installed plastic screens to block monitors from people nearby. Isn't that a great library system that does that for you? See, I let the guys and girls watch the porn, and if you don't want to see it on their screens, then they're going to block it for you and provide a means to do that. I just think that it's that is just wonderful that they're doing something like that. Let's go down here to a related type of story. The United Nations-backed Global Commission on HIV and the law. They are now recommending, they've done that this week, that nations around the world get rid of punitive laws against prostitution, or what it calls consensual sex work. They want this to be decriminalized in every nation and decriminalize the voluntary use of illegal injection drugs also. And all this is to combat HIV. Shoot, I thought it was, you know, so that the UN guys that were sitting on that commission, their mothers could get an extra work. I always say that to people in classes. You know, they want to legalize prostitution. I said, well, good, it'd make a great part-time job for your mom. And then all of a sudden they don't want to do it. But anyway, they want to call this adult consensual sex work. And then they want to provide regulations relative to the adult consensual sex work. And then they can make laws about sexual trafficking. And, of course, guess who's for this? The pimps like the idea. The ones who pimp the prostitutes, they think this is a pretty good idea, then that they can have more people probably working for them, people that no longer would have to fear the law. I don't know how many people have ever had a chance to talk to somebody like a streetwalking prostitute who's been doing it for 20 years or so. There ain't a whole lot going on upstairs. He said the commission says that 116 countries and territories have punitive laws against sex work, and 80 countries or territories have some legal protection for sex workers. So they want to turn that around. I guess 116 countries are all wrong when they're doing that. But anyway, Secretary General Bon, that's his first name, so I can't remember what it is, Boki Bon or something like that. He says this is he supports this, removing all laws that criminalize sex workers or prostitutes. He says, I urge all countries, this is a quote, to remove punitive laws, policies, and practices that hamper the AIDS response. And all this is to cure people of AIDS. Now, let me see. We have more sex because it's legalized. And because we have more sex, we're going to have less AIDS, right? I guess that makes sense, sort of. I understand there would be preventive means and all that. As I mentioned, the pimps like it. They think it'd be a great idea. So the sex traffickers want it legalized because they can gain far more traction with their own illegal activities anytime that it's legalized. That's happened in Germany, Amsterdam. That type of business. I've mentioned before that Amsterdam built a brothel at the airport so that if you have a little extra time, you don't have to run all the way downtown to find a prostitute. You can just go to the airport hotel there, apparently. Isn't that interesting? It says the UN-backed commission interviewed prostitutes, activists, and public health advocates in 140 countries to come up with these conclusions. The funding came from Canada, Norway, Australia. You wouldn't believe the United States through our USAID. Yes, it came there. And from billionaire George Soros through his Open Societies Foundation. That's something. Here's a terrible case. I thought this was something. Texas cops see this more than once, but... you see where 14 people are dead, including two young girls. 9 are injured after a heavily overloaded truck crashed into two trees in Texas on Sunday. And they were 23 people being carried in this pickup truck. 23 people. It was a Ford F-250 Super Duty truck. It went on the right side of the road on northbound 59 between San Antonio and Mexico, 10 miles south of Goliad, Texas. They're investigating what happened. They don't know. The driver was killed. And where would you think these people would be from? They haven't found any IDs yet. So the idea is ICE is investigating, and they believe that they came from Honduras and Mexico, or from Mexico, and they're checking with the consulates to find out about this people. But isn't that something, US 59 apparently, it's kind of a track for them to get up into the north in Texas and on up into other parts of the country. But that's terrible. I mean, I can't even imagine. 23 people dead in one action. That's just terrible. Okay, speaking of terrible, we'll do one more terrible story. We now have a new game that the street punks are playing. It's called Knock 'em Out. Pick 'em out and knock 'em down. And we have videotapes of this. I guess some of them have been put on YouTube even. But they killed this one man. He was retrieving bottles so he could turn in bottles and get money for them. 62-year-old father of 12 people in West Rogers Park. He was, these punks says, I'm going to hit him and strike him. And it's called Knockout King is what the name of the game is. And so they find this guy and they whip him and hit him. And this Mora, he was a salvager out collecting empty pop cans. He told the others, think I'm going to knock this M, you know what, out, Mr. Clancy said. So they arrested two of these creeps. And then they went back and got another guy and beat him up and took $1 from him, $1. They stole $60 from the guy they killed, took that from his wallet. Is something like the death penalty appropriate for someone like that? Seems like it ought to be fitting. Let's play our own game of electrocute or stick 'em and do it with a needle. I've been against the death penalty, but I'm thinking about changing my mind. That's a long story why I am against it. So anyway, that's the news story for tonight, for the news segment. And let's go ahead and take a look or listen to this story of the Bank of England robbery. And this is from the Secrets of Scotland Yard radio crime series that was on between 1949 and 1951. And this was broadcast worldwide. And then it was brought to the United States and was broadcast in 1957 over the Mutual Broadcasting System. So it's a true life story, all the episodes. And if you go to archive.org and look for Secrets of Scotland Yard, you can find about 13 episodes. So the one we're going to look at tonight is called the Bank of England Robbery. Keep in mind, a true story. Give me a second to set up here.
Again, don't know where, don't know where.